Welcome to our evening service tonight. Toronto, Canada, we're happy that you're here with us in person and also viewing online. We're going to begin our meeting tonight by singing this hymn, Jesus, Wherever Your People Meet. Let's stand, please, to worship. In the Lord's presence and pray. Our loving Father, in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, we bow in prayer tonight. Thankful, Lord, for the service, a meeting, a time when we can be still in the presence of our great God. Father, we bow our hearts humbly in your holy presence. We come to ask, Lord, for the help of the Spirit of God in our worship. We need help in our praying. We need help in the reading of the Scripture. We need help, Lord, to understand the Word of God. And I pray it will be applied powerfully. Lord, it will give us wisdom, direction, restraint, that we will be instructed, Lord, with that divine and heavenly word. Our Father, we pray tonight that we will all be malleable in the hands of our Father, Lord. Don't let us go in our own pathway. Don't let us stumble and fall because of our rebellion. Lord, I pray that we would walk humbly, faithfully, dutifully in the pathway of Christ, and that the mind of the Lord would be in us. Lord, I pray that we will not be distracted by the ways of the world, but our attention would be fastened upon the Savior. Lord, we pray that our lives would reflect His beauty. Pray that our lives would be a testimony, a witness, a shining light in a very dark time. I pray, Lord, that as the world would look to us as living letters, known and read, let that testimony not be smeared. Let it not be blurred. But when people look on us, Lord, let us give a true reflection of our Savior. Father, let us give a true reflection of Your attributes and love. And we pray that the grace would be in us that is so often absent. Dear Lord, equip us, strengthen us. Thankful for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of public worship. How we long, Lord, to have this. It saddens our heart once again that this would be a final Lord's Day, in a sense, before we are restricted to a limited number. I mean, Lord, we know that these things are but for a season, yet still we pray that the longing we have to be united would cause us to pray earnestly to our Father, that You would allow us and restore us to have these times of worship that are so precious to us, that are so valuable for the necessary development and growth and fellowship one with another. Dear Lord, make use of us, we pray, in our time. Along this line, Father, we pray for those that are serving. We ask for blessing upon those in the medical field, those that are on the front line of service. Help them, strengthen them, keep them emotionally, keep them as they are under the stress of added pressure in these days. Lord, we ask for blessing and wisdom upon our political leaders. They are under a lot of pressure for sure. Give them wisdom, understanding. Lord, bless them to do that which is right and true. And Father, restrain them from doing that which is evil and self-promoting. Oh God, hear our prayer today. We pray for our nation. Lord, surely we are in need of help. We read in the Scripture, Lord, how that Israel, so often as they backslid and went away, other enemies were raised up and seemed to run over them until they lifted their hearts and cried for deliverance. Lord, I pray that there will be a volley of prayers heavenward from all of Your people across our nation, that we would have healing, Lord, in our land, that we would know a mighty awakening and a reviving. Lord, is it not time for You to work? For the law of God has been made void. Hear our prayer, Lord. Revive all of us as Your people. Bring us into the place where we can be used of our God. Lord, break off the ways of the world in our hearts. Let us not hide things inside that should not be there. Let us be as bright lights in this world and a testimony when the world is seeking for some kind of sense. Lord, let them see in the lives of Your people stability, calmness, wisdom, direction, and peace. Because we have the peace of God, which passes all understanding. And it's no surprise to us, Lord, because that has been given to us as a great and a mighty gift For we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus. Well, help us therefore, Father, to give that clear call, that clear word to those who are lost and undone. We pray we'll have the joy of leading sinners to Christ. I pray, Lord, we'll have the joy of being soul winners. Make use of us, we pray. For, Lord, we'll have no greater joy than when we come to the end to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So be with us now tonight. Father, remember the many ones that we have been praying for that are sick, needing a touch from God, those that have been overcome with illness and virus. I remember again praying for John and Thelma Watson and for Richard. For you would bless them, Lord, abundantly. Remember Audrey as well. All these ones, Lord, that need your hand upon them. We pray for those in our fellowship that are aging and, Lord, need your near presence now. We pray for our brother Sam, for Ron. You would encourage them. You would bless them, Lord, abundantly. Remember Russ and Lynn O'Neill tonight. Help them, we pray, Lord. Bless them abundantly. Now, Lord, there are so many others. Thankful for the special season of prayer this afternoon with our congregation and many, many people who were brought, Lord, faithfully before the throne of grace. Lord, hear and answer abundantly. We're confident, Lord, that you hear our prayers because you've told us and invited us to come. And as we do, Lord, the certainty that we are heard and the assurance in Jesus' name that we will have the petition we desire of the Lord. So hear us, bless us, encourage our hearts. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let's worship the Lord again, please, with number 661. All your anxiety, all your care. We'll stand as we worship. Reading tonight, please, in Psalm 27. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When Thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said within me, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not Thy face from me, put not Thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me Thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed, to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. May God bless His word to us tonight. As we have read, may it be an encouragement to you tonight. I want to welcome you all this evening to our service. We're happy that you're here with us tonight in person, and we welcome also those viewing our service online, whether from local or from a far off place. You're very, very welcome in the Savior's name. We had a blessed time of prayer this afternoon. It was our monthly special congregational prayer time, and many were brought before the Lord earnestly. And these are special times, and certainly also asking for the Lord to bless us. Thank you all for your faithful praying for your pastor and for the ministry, for the work, for the pulpit here. And continue on as God will bless you as you remember and pray for others. We want to remember those in our congregation who have special need. We again hold up Henry and Kathy Lee. Remember Lou and Lydia Siu. Remember, please, also Mrs. Sushila and Brother Sam McAnally. Good to have Ron in the service with us tonight. Brother, we pray for you regularly. The Lord would encourage your heart. And also, please remember Jamie Abarca's mother in Ecuador. We're asking also for special prayer for Russ and Lynn O'Neill. They're known to our church from many, many years ago. He was a child evangelist and did several meetings for us in the church here. He was quite gifted in his ability to use paint and drawings and pictures in order to tell the story of the Scripture. His wife is in great need today. She's on life support system and suffering from COVID, and also he as well. But Russ is not quite so bad. But ask your special prayer, please, for John and Thelma Watson. Just heard this afternoon their son Richard called me and said his mom had been quite sick, had been taking her to the hospital a couple of weeks ago, and they just got tested positive just on Thursday past, Richard and his dad, for COVID. Mrs. Watson doesn't have COVID at this moment, but do remember them, please, in prayer. They seem to have come through the worst part of it at the moment, and they're at home, and thankfully John has not had to go into the hospital, and neither has Richard at this time. We ask you to remember the whole family before the Lord at this time in prayer. I hope you had an opportunity, maybe if not this afternoon, boys and girls and even adults, I think, will enjoy the Behind the Wall Kids program. I hope adults, you take a time to look at it and do pray for Daniel and Rebecca Simon as they head up this ministry. The Lord would be with them, encourage them, and help them in all the steps forward on that one. If you want to look at some of the back recordings or episodes, you can go on Sermon Audio and you will find it there on the main Toronto page. Let me remind you, please, of the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and it will be a special one, a missionary prayer meeting, where there'll be a video shown over Zoom about the Christian school pilot project in Liberia. And this is something that has been in the works and thinking, planning for many years, though it was just recently, a couple of months ago, was really cleared and approved to go through the mission board here in North America. And so we want to have this video, well, it has already been sent around to our churches here, and asking the people to look at it, and if God would move in your heart to send a donation, to raise some funds, to go forward and see this pilot program that needs to get started, wants to get started in September of this year. So do remember Miss Joanne Greer, she'll be heading up that, and of course Reverend Dave DeCanio, who is head of the mission field over there, that God would lead them, bless them. That's this Wednesday night at 7:30. If you want to join in, then you can, you're welcome to send us an email and we'll get you a link for our prayer meeting. Thank you for your prayers as we begin tomorrow the 3-week study course in Geneva Reformed Seminary, and I'll be lecturing the students there, and so I'll appreciate very much your prayers for the next couple of weeks. Also, to remember the brethren who will be coming to preach the Word of God for you, and I know that not this coming Wednesday, but the following Wednesday, Reverend Gallagher is going to be joining in the prayer meeting via Zoom, and I think you'll enjoy our brother's message to you on that night. He preached something, if he's going to do the same word, he said he was going to our ministers as we were meeting for prayer last week or 2 weeks ago. It was a real blessing. I think you'll find it an encouragement to you. Do remember always the pulpit ministry here. Thank you for your praying. Continue on, that God would really bless us. We know that next Lord's Day, our services will be back to 10 in the lockdown. And if you would like to come to the services, please email our brother Jonathan, and he will let you know if there's a spot available at this time. So good to see you all tonight here, making use of this time. We've enjoyed a little bit. Let's all pray that the Lord will not only deal with the situation of COVID, that's for sure, but also that our governments would see that there's a priority for us as the church in meeting together in a capacity for worship. Let's sing again to the Lord's praise tonight, number 663. Lord, I have shut the door. Remain seated while we sing. very precious words in this hymn, and you think of the presence of God and the infinite peace that there is in the Lord and with Him. And that peace is what He has given and granted to His own children. He wants us not to be in turmoil. He doesn't want us to be in anxiety, but He wants us to walk with Him in stillness and in peace, even when the enemy is roaring, even when there is much to distract us. Yet there is a settledness of the child of God as we are walking with Him. May God bless as we have sung this tonight. Turn with me now, please, tonight to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's bow, please, in prayer. Father, as we have this word open now in front of us, our regular prayer is that our hearts will be open. I pray that You would help me to speak the Word of God faithfully and plainly. Let no one misunderstand. Let no one be confused. Blessed Spirit of God, come and impress upon these hearts of flesh with the indelible writing of divinity, the Word of truth. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. Remember those who are unsaved. I pray even that as they heard the message this morning, perhaps even listening again tonight, that You would continue to work deeply in their heart and bring them to the living experience of the new birth. They would understand themselves being born from above, born by the Spirit of God, brought to life anew, brought to taste and see that the Lord is good, and that in so tasting, all will see and know they have peace with God in their heart. Sins have been forgiven. On the road to heaven, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, hear our prayers tonight. Draw near and encourage every believer. Times may be difficult. The going is tough. Yet our God, Lord, you are more than able for all that we face. Teach us dependence, Father. Teach us, we pray, to walk by faith and not by sight. Teach us to depend upon the Scriptures, upon the Word that is forever settled in heaven. Bless us now. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I want to draw your attention, please, tonight to the final verse of this chapter, verse 16, and really specifically the last phrase where it speaks about grace to help in time of need. Grace to help in time of need. The Scripture has so much to teach us about prayer. We learn that in the book of Genesis that men began to call upon the Lord. And as they began to seek the Lord in prayer, that pattern of the righteous has carried right through the Old Testament. Moses, the friend of God, Abraham, the friend of God, as these men who were giants of the faith communed with the Lord, they knew what it was to speak with God. They knew what it was for God to commune with them. They were in touch with the Lord. We made a passing comment about David this morning from Psalm 32. And how that David was a man who knew God intimately. Don't ever think for a moment that Old Testament saints were somewhat less educated in the things of the Lord. Oh, they may not have had the fulfillment of all revelation as we have in the finished canon. But friends, they knew the Lord. They had a personal, living, vital relationship with the Lord. And therefore, they knew what it was to pray. They knew what it was to commune. They knew what it was to rest upon the promises of the Word. And they brought the Word of God back to Him in prayer. And as they did that, they give for us a pattern. Every Christian, we have the pattern of bringing the promises of God back to Him in our praying. And as we rest upon those promises, presenting them before the living God, we have the assurance, the certainty, that God stands by His own Word. And He stands on His Word. And He has submitted Himself under His own Word. For He has exalted His Word above all His name. And everything that the name of God stands for, His being, His person, His character, His infinity, He has brought Himself to be submitted under the very Word that He has breathed. He has told us and invited us to call upon Him. Psalm 27 that we read, "Seek ye the Lord, and I will answer." And believer, you answer tonight the Lord as well. "Thy face, O Lord, will I seek." Because God is inviting us to pray. He's inviting us to commune with Him. And what a mighty privilege has been set before us as sinful, yet redeemed, gloriously redeemed human beings. that we have a line of communication with the very God of heaven, our Creator, the sovereign Lord of all the universe. And what does He do? He delights that we will come to Him in prayer. He wants, believer, to hear your intercession. He wants to know the expression of your heart before Him. He calls us to seek His face. He calls us to pray. And we move from the Old Testament saints. There are too many for us to mention tonight. But we are brought into the human example of Christ as He walked upon earth. And the prayer life of our Lord, it surely teaches us that if the Savior was one who needed prayer, if He secluded Himself with God, and if our Lord Jesus bowed down on His knees before God to pray to His Heavenly Father, God communicating with God, how much is it the least that we can do to get on our knees before the Lord in our quiet times of intercession and prayer? Yes, we can pray while we're standing. Yes, we can pray in the car while we're driving. Keep your eyes open. Yes, we can pray as we're in the workplace, in the home, doing all kinds of things. The Lord has commanded all men everywhere to pray. But are there not special times where we get alone with God, close the door, leave the phone outside, and get before God on our faces? Savior gives for us that example, believer. We will never be hindered by such a thing. But I'll tell you something, when you begin to get alone with God in such a way, you will find that there is an enemy of your soul more than you ever knew before. Because when you determine and want to get alone with God, the devil hates it. And he hates, as the hymn writer said, to find the weakest saint upon his knees. The devil is trembling. Why? Because he knows that that's the power line. That's the line of communication. And when you and your weakness, believer, have shut out the world and have got quiet and alone with God, and you want to talk with Him, you're able to bring all of your anxiety, all of your care. You're able to bring every burden, every distress, everything that's troubling and trying your mind, and you present that burden before the Lord. What does He tell us in Psalm 55:22? Cast thy burden upon the Lord. And what's God going to do? He is going to sustain you, a great word. He is going to hold you up and carry you on. The Lord's not going to fail. He is not going to let you out of His everlasting arms. We are held there. And if we're held by the living God in His hand, no power, no force is able to pluck us out of our Father's hand. Do you know that God delights to sing over you with rejoicing? And believer, as you are in prayer and calling upon God, know that you are on sacred ground. Know that you are on the ground of redemption. You are on the ground of the precious shed blood of our Redeemer. And therefore, we have access to God with all certainty. The devil would say to you, he said, don't waste your time talking to God about that. The Lord is too busy, and that's not important enough. And the devil just wants to cause us to delay a little bit, to procrastinate a little, Because if he can cause our delay, hopefully the distraction will come, and then we have missed out in that time with God. Believer, prayer for the child of God is our lifeline. What was the mark that was going to set apart Saul of Tarsus when he was going to be found by Ananias? Behold, he prayeth. Because when a man has met Jesus Christ, when a woman comes into a relationship with the Lord Jesus, there is then that inner desire. The Spirit of God is now alive within us. And because the Spirit is alive within us, why, we want to commune with God. We want to talk to the one who has created us and who has elected us before the foundation of the world, the one who has brought us into a living relationship through his only begotten Son. We want to talk with the Lord. Is that our testimony tonight, believer? Would it be known by the ungodly, even by other believers? You will go and find that person. They'll be identified by this factor. That's a man of prayer. There is a woman of prayer. It's a testimony to be coveted. If there's a good thing to covet, that's one of them. To be known before God as someone who is in touch with the Lord by prayer. Quite frankly, believer, if you're not praying, you're backslidden. You and I both know that there are degrees of backsliding. We get cold in heart and start to drift away. There are degrees of it. But you also know yourself when you have lost out with God. You know when you're not any longer in touch with the Lord. You sense in your own heart it's ice cold. And you're not getting anywhere. And you're like the old hamster on the wheel. You're running and running and running and covering no ground. And so the desire in our hearts as believers, it will be to seek the Lord. And if that's not the case, well then, maybe tonight it's a time for some self-examination, asking some questions ourselves. Where did I lose out with God? Where did I stop going on with Him? What was it that came into my life that seemed to push God out? We have to go back to that place until we see the Lord brought back in and whatever it is else was pushed out. Because we want to be known as men and women of prayer. That same testimony. It's our lifeline. It's the communication that God has given to us. James Montgomery, in his hymn, wrote it this way: prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles or burns within the breast. Is that our experience tonight? Can we say within our souls that we cannot wait to get alone with God? Or is it this? Do we have to be dragged into it? Do we have to force ourselves into it? Because we have so filled our life and our mind with other things that seem so much more important. Quite honestly, friends, if we're too busy to seek the Lord, then our life is too busy. We are too tied up with other things. And we have to set our priorities in the right order. And may God help us all to do that. Because the closer that we are with our God in prayer, the happier that we will be. the less stressed out we will be, the less anxious we will be. Because when those things that would cause anxiety would flood over us, and they will because we're human and we're in this life, it's like someone who is standing to a wave and the wave would come off the ocean to hit you, and if you're not prepared, if you haven't braced yourself for it, the wave will quickly knock you over. But when you're prepared for that and you're standing to it and you're determined, you may face the force and the gale of opposition. That's where we want to be. That's where we need to be. And let us pray to that end. In Hebrews chapter 4, this is a chapter all about praying. It's really all about the communication that the believer is to have with God and the rest that we can have in Him, not to be distracted by those in the Old Testament who refused to obey God, who refused the rest that the Lord had given to them, and they went their own way. And the Lord called it a pathway of unbelief. Let there not be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. So what we want to see here is that God is teaching us in concluding on this chapter to come to the throne of grace. The throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Helping grace. Do you need that tonight? I need that tonight. And I pray that God would write His word upon our hearts. Please notice that there is in this God's offer of help. God's offer of help. Why should a Christian pray? Why should you pray? Some people mistakenly think that, well, if we worship a sovereign God, if the Lord's in control of everything and He knows what's going to happen tomorrow because He knew it from eternity, why then should a Christian bother praying? Seems kind of futile. Am I going to change anything by my prayers? The reason why a believer should pray in the first place is because we are commanded by the Lord to pray. And there doesn't have to be any other reason for us to pray but that alone, in isolation. God has commanded us. Now you might ask the question, well, why would He command me to pray if He's the sovereign God who knows everything? And there are some questions you will ask and you don't have an answer for. And quite frankly, in the sovereignty of God and in His eternal decree, I don't know the answers to those things because He's not revealed them to us. But what the Lord has revealed is His purpose will be fulfilled through the means of His people praying. And I don't understand how all that's going to work. But is it really my business to understand everything before I obey the Lord and do it? No, it's not. It is our business, believer, to follow the command of the Lord. Because you want to do His will, I want to follow Him and do His will. So if the Lord's giving me a command, I'll say, yes, Lord, I might not get it fully yet, but I will obey. And we will find out, perhaps in eternity, how that God has used us as instruments through the vehicle of praying when we may not have fully grasped all the parts to it. But we have followed Him obediently, because to obey the Lord is better than sacrifice. It's better than works. It's better than anything else we might do to follow the Lord in simple, humble obedience. Some things we will grasp easily, other things will be more difficult, but it is a walk of faith, my brother and sister, tonight. It is a walk whereby we say, yes, Lord, I want to do Your will. And when the Lord has told us and offered us the help in prayer, helping grace, He's commanded us to seek Him. Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's a command of the Lord. Praying always with all prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. But there's a reason also that God comes and gives us this offer of help. It's a command, but it's also the great privilege of communion with Him. To commune with God in our hearts. And to know the mind of the Spirit being revealed to us from the Scripture. As we commune with God, He reveals to us the secret things of the Lord. Yes, sometimes mysterious things. And you will find this in your own private reading of the Scriptures when you have come to hard passages of the Word, and quite frankly, you don't get it. And so you come and ask the Lord, give me, Lord, more light, more understanding, more clarity, so that I can understand Your mind and Your will. And as you're reading and studying and communing with the Lord more, He reveals to you through a sermon that you might hear somewhere. You might hear from another believer who gives you a little word of admonition. Or you hear it from a sermon that you're listening to, some book you're reading. And these things are all dovetailing together, and it gives you understanding through your communion in prayer with the Lord. And oh, believer, tonight, God has commanded us. That's one thing. And it's a blessed and sweet privilege we have of communing with the Lord. And He has given us this invitation. And the invitation is presented so vividly, so accurately, so clearly for us, because He wants us to follow Him. We are invited to come to the throne of grace. And this throne has been distinguished for us from a throne of judgment. Thank God we will not stand before the judgment seat of God because of our sin and to answer for our sin, because our sin was placed upon Christ and He has borne it all for us. And so when we think about coming to the throne of grace tonight, we can rejoice. It's not a throne of judgment. It is a throne that the living God has invited us to seek His face. It's a place that is characterized by unmerited favor, hence the name grace. And the Lord has invited us to the throne of grace because we are already children of grace. We have already received abundantly of the grace of God in salvation. And so tonight, as we think about this, may God stamp and write and reinforce this upon our minds. Mr. Spurgeon wrote this about this text. He said, when God enacts laws, He is on a throne of legislation. When He administers these laws, He's on a throne of government. When He tries His creatures by these laws, He's on a throne of judgment. But when He receives petitions and dispenses favors, He is at and on His throne of grace. Wise and true words. And we are today and tonight invited to the throne of heavenly grace. And when we come to this, we are not praying to an object. That's not what this means at all. Don't ever think that. We're not holding up some physical object or some sort of a trinket. Sometimes people wear things that are emblems or symbols of their religion or faith. But we don't need those things. For the Christian, when we come to this throne of grace, It's to the one who occupies the throne. That's what this is meaning. It's meaning all that's represented in coming to God in prayer. And so, Christian, let us use our time. Let us take well this offer of hope and of help that God has given to us. Please notice in the second place, the ground of our help. At the very beginning, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace." What is the Apostle and the Holy Spirit referring to? If you look back at verse 14, it is seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. We have a great high priest. The high priest in the Old Testament was set apart and ordained by God to be a representative. The priest was to be a representative of God to the people and to correspond from the people to God. That was the purpose of the priest's ministry. And so as the high priest went into the tabernacle to the holiest of all, to the place where the blood of atonement was sprinkled on the mercy seat, it was there that God said, "I will meet with you." And that place of meeting that the Lord promised to meet with His people, it was on that ground that when you look at our great high priest, he was the one not only who was the representative of God to the people and of the people to God, but he was the one who himself was the sacrifice. And he brought his own blood. The high priest in the Old Testament had to bring the blood of a sacrifice, not his own. He could not do that. But Christ Jesus entered into the holy place of heaven with his own precious blood. And as he brought his own blood before God, that prepared the way, believer, for you and I to approach the Lord and to come being washed in that blood, to come with the full assurance and the guarantee that we are welcome into the presence of the Lord. And we have the authority as we stand upon the ground of the finished work of Christ, and we have this ground of our help. Let us therefore approach, not in fear, not begging. There is no need for a child of God to beg to come into the presence of the Lord. We are welcome. The door is open. We have authority from God, because we are washed in His blood, of the blood of His Son. And the high priest could go into that veil only once a year and not without blood. If he had ventured into that place, he would have been struck dead. Because God is holy and man is sinful. And man cannot come into the presence of God without atonement. And therefore, as the high priest in type and shadow and picture of the great coming high priest, so he could go in and he could sprinkle that blood. And as he came out from there, it was once more recognized by the people that God had received the offering. And God the Father tonight has gloriously received the offering of His only begotten Son on our account, and our great high priest. He is the one whose blood whereby we offer or we enter in upon that which has been offered. Friends, I have no other argument tonight We have no other plea. There's no other ground of hope for us than on the ground of the precious shed blood of the Lord. It's not a bad thing, you know. It's a very good thing in our praying to speak to the Lord on the ground of the blood of His Son. And when you're being hounded and troubled by the devil and by the enemies, and the devil comes to you with temptation after temptation, and you think you're about ready to slide, my dear friends, it is a good thing to pray with the blood of Christ and on the authority of that ground and in the name of the finished work of Jesus. Because in so doing, we have power with God and with men. Yes, it is in Jesus' name and standing on that ground that we have assurance, because the justice of the Lord has been satisfied. And we have nothing else we can offer. There's no other personal reasons that we can give to God whereby we should come into His presence. It's guaranteed upon that one thing alone. And oh, friends, tonight, are you rejoicing that you are justified and you are able to have the offer of help based on the ground of help that we can come? The Lord is giving us helping grace in every time of need. I want you to think with me also tonight about the attitude that we are to have when seeking this help. The attitude that a believer is supposed to have. Well, verse 16 tells us, "Let us therefore come boldly." Boldly. It's a word that means to come with confidence. It's a word that means to come without fear. It's a word that means to come that with such an authority in your mind that you will not, you cannot be turned away from God. Now let's be very clear, there's a difference between boldness and brashness. There's a difference between boldness and foolishness. Let us always remember that we stand in the presence of a holy God, the God of heaven and earth, and that we are His children. We are sinners saved by His grace, and we must have a healthy fear of the living God as we approach Him. We're not to do so with a foolishness. We're not to be so glib that we dishonor God in our praying. But the Lord does tell us that there is an attitude that we are to have as His people, and we are to come with boldness before the throne of grace. And the Lord gives us some strange and unusual stories in His life about the wicked, ungodly king, and how this woman came to Him and she kept pounding on the door wanting her request granted. And the Lord said in this unusual way that this ungodly king granted to the woman her request because she was being a pain to Him, a pest, and He just wanted to get her out of His hair. And how the Lord uses such an illustration like that, it's beyond me. But He does. And it's for us to glean from that a teaching that if this wicked and ungodly king will bow because of the pounding of this woman to get what she wanted, how much more shall our Heavenly Father give to us the things that we have need of because we are His children, because we are beloved of Him, because He delights to answer our prayer and to give to us the things we have need of. Believer, let us not be impoverished, but rather let us have this godly and holy attitude which really places the warrant back upon God again, that we as His people are going to come to Him with such confidence based on His Word. And Lord, You have told us to come boldly, and therefore, based upon the honor of the King, we will depend on Him. The story is told of David Livingstone, the great missionary of Africa. When the two helpers that were with him found him in his tent on his knees, dead, he had been praying, communing with God after a life of giving himself to the gospel, giving himself to the cause that he so followed after. But you know what they found written in the margin of his Bible over the promise that Jesus had given? The words were simply, "It is the word of the truest gentleman." And what he meant by that was when a man gives his word that he will do something, and that word is honored, he is a true gentleman. And so Livingstone was lifting that to the highest level when he thought about Christ. And he thought about him giving and keeping his word. He was the truest gentleman. He was the truest man of honor. And the Lord God wants us to come into His presence boldly and to seek Him. And when we base our praying upon His own precious word, God is the truest gentleman. He keeps His word. He will never break His word. He will never break His promise. And we are able to come boldly and speak to the Lord freely. And the Lord invites us, and therefore we are to come constantly before Him. We're to come without reservation, for we are the sons and daughters of the Most High. We have authority. We have open door. We come by the blood-sprinkled pathway. And we are able to come freely, my friends, with simple words. You cannot impress the Lord. You know that? We can't impress God with anything that we say. The Lord knows our hearts intimately, and He knows our thoughts afar off. And so when we come to pray, we are to call upon the Lord from our hearts, and the words don't have to be complicated. Believer, sometimes public prayer is a real challenge for Christians, and it's a stumbling block, and I know it. I've experienced it myself. I know what that was like when my early Christian days, so challenging, so difficult. But God doesn't want our eloquence. He wants our heart. God wants us just to come to Him in prayer. And as we pray to Him in private, let us therefore come to Him in the public meeting and just open our hearts and thank God for salvation. Thank the Lord for His mercies to us. Pray for things we have need of. Pray to share the burdens of other believers. Yes, we are to come freely with simple words. And we are also to come with great confidence, hopefully, that we are not only heard, but our prayers will be answered. And then I think of the word fervency, because we're reminded in James' epistle, and we've studied the life of Elijah, and he is used as a remarkable example that we are to come with fervency to God. It means a heart that is on fire. It means that as we are praying, we mean the things that we are praying about. Formality, and this is where preachers have to really be careful about and guard, the formality of a service, the curse of professionalism in preaching or in praying, it's to be anathema. May God deliver me from that, and every one of us as well. Because when we come to pray, it's to come with a fervency, a heart that is on fire for God, a heart that is bursting out of love and of need. Yes, these things are important for us, friends. The offer of help, the ground, the attitude. and the time to seek for help. What time would that be? Well, we're told, grace to help in time of need. What time is it? It's a time of need. And you have a need tonight, and the Lord knows that. But we are called to bring that very need before the Lord because He has promised to sustain us and help us. And I think sometimes, friends, we would nearly go mad if we were not able to open our hearts and just present our needs before the Lord, who loves us with an everlasting love, an everlasting love. John Patton was a missionary in the New Hebrides off Australia. It was only about a year when he had gone out to the field with his young wife and young child. And both wife and child took a fever. It was a tropical fever. And they both died. Listen to what Mr. Patton said. Ever since the day of our happy marriage, a strange thought possessed my heart that I should lose her soon and suddenly. Perhaps I am not the first who has wrestled through such unworthy forebodings, that which was so precious and blessed was about to be withdrawn. Our short united life had been cloudless and happy. I felt her loss beyond all conception or description in that dark land. It was very difficult to be resigned, left alone, and in sorrowful circumstances. But feeling immovably assured that my God and Father was too wise and loving to err in anything that He does or permits, I looked up to the Lord for help and struggled on in His work. I do not pretend to see through the mystery of such visitations, wherein God calls away the young and the promising, and those sorely needed for His service here. But this I do know and feel, that in the light of such dispensations, it becomes us all to love and serve our blessed Lord Jesus, so that we may be ready at His call for death and eternity. Ah, friends, those words cannot be written unless a person has known the Lord intimately in their life. To suffer such a loss, it goes beyond human description. And yet at a time of His need, what did He do? The time of His need, He called upon the Lord for help, and then He struggled on. Friend, it didn't mean that His help was over. The pain of sorrow of loss was upon Him. He had to now continue on in the ministry that the Lord had given to Him to do. There was no just leaving it and going back to what He had before. No, He pressed on. And the Lord gave Him helping grace. And believer, in our lives, whatever God calls us to do, He has promised His helping grace. Have you experienced it? Have you had need of it recently? You will find it. You will find it at the very moment that you do have need for it. And I pray, friends, that as we consider this scripture tonight, that God would write it upon our hearts, that we would not soon forget it. Let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find that grace to help in time of need. Let's bow in prayer. Friends, as we are bowed in prayer now, my message tonight has been to believers, and it might be that you are unsaved. What are you to do? There's only one answer and help for your soul. You must call upon the Lord Jesus now in repentance and faith. And as you call, He will answer. And then you will know that He is the God of your salvation, the God of your restoration, the God of help in time of need. Lord, I'm asking that this word would be written indelibly upon every heart. Help us, Lord, tonight. Strengthen us in our daily walk. Make us strong soldiers in the army of Christ. Let us put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to quench the fiery arrows, stop them of the wicked one, holding the shield of faith. Lord, bless us, we pray. Make us strong, holding the sword of the Spirit. Help us to walk on confidently in this world, to be a light that shines brighter and brighter until that glorious day of our redemption, whereby we are brought into heaven forever and forever. So, Lord, part us now in Thy fear, and with Thy rich blessing, the one who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of our great God and Savior. To the only wise God, glory, power, dominion, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.